Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening
of another show. Well, this is shaping up to be a rather odd fall season for Broadway. More closings, a few shows about to open, but not a lot to get excited about so far. More on all this in a few moments, but first let me discuss a pair of off-Broadway productions I saw this past week. Now, by sheer coincidence, the two are not only both inside the Theater Row complex on 42nd Street, they're directly across from one another. On the Clurman stage is Lonely Planet by Stephen Dietz. The Beckett is a temporary home to Squeamish by Aaron Mark. Now, Dietz has been writing and teaching about writing for many years. His resume is packed with some 30 plays. In fact, Lonely Planet was written more than two decades ago. Aaron Mark is a newer voice in the theater. Well, for my taste, it is the voice of experience that gives us the more successful production. Lonely Planet is being produced by the Keene Company, whose mission is to provoke reflection and emotional connection. I confess I had little expectations about a play that featured characters in the midst of the AIDS epidemic. Didn't the normal heart and falsettos do that about as well as we could expect? Yes, they did. One angrily, one musically. But Stephen Dietz's unique, subtle, and lovely piece deserves to go into that canon. The play features two men, both gay, but not lovers, something that one points out is the saving grace of their relationship. This is really a story about what true friendship means, particularly when surrounded by a frightening crisis. I go to memorial services just to see who is still alive, says one of the men. The play is both highly personal and topical, well, some might say historical, though as we have seen lately in the theater world, the disease continues to take some of its most creative figures. The performances by Arnie Burton and Matt McGrath left me on the brink of tears, and the direction by Jonathan Silverstein hits all the right notes. The set, a map store run by Burton's character, a place he has grown fearfully unable to leave, is an important part of the story. There is metaphorical dialogue to go with those charts on the walls. We too have blind spots as we navigate our days. As there is with the growing number of chairs that clutter the stage. It might help if you know a bit about Ionesco, but it's not necessary. There are sparks of humor here, I promise. Lines like, I don't make things up, I lie. But primarily, this is a tasteful and quietly powerful production, particularly when compared to the creepy stuff going on across the hall. There, an excellent actress named Allison Fraser is giving a tour de force performance in Squeamish. Now, I can't think of many times, correct me please, when horror has worked well on stage. One attempt that has been on Broadway all summer, 1984, is closing its doors, and not a moment too soon. It was so soaked in blood and torture that people were seen running out. Yes, that was me too in the last 10 minutes. I think back a few seasons to another adaptation of a horror film, American Psycho, which also folded quickly. And then, of course, there was Carrie, which tried a few times. Interesting, because the movie business lately is literally being saved by old-fashioned and inexpensive horror movies. I don't know what the answer is or why clever mystery is more effective than rushing blood on stage. I assume it has something to do with letting the audience use its imagination. Which brings me back to Squeamish, a play that does, in all fairness, ask us to imagine what the sole character is describing. The action takes place on one chair with one lamp. We are in a psychiatrist's office wherein a patient is pouring out her heart, her mental madness, and possibly her bloody sins. Let's just say a lot has happened since I last saw you, says the patient to the doctor. Now, as I have said here before, it takes a lot for me to lose myself in one character's shows. At the very least, they have to tell a great story or stories. Personally, I did not find this woman's tale all that interesting or resonant or even a reason for being. But Allison Fraser is displaying her talent big time, and Aaron Mark seems a playwright well worth watching. Now, speaking of one-person shows, this is a good time to mention that Michael Moore's is closing. Not surprisingly, the show had trouble filling Broadway seats beyond those who already agree with everything the documentary maker says and feels. Moore's ego is probably too big, but it seems this could have been more effective in a smaller venue. Prince of Broadway is also ending its surprisingly brief run, a disappointing hodgepodge of a show that gave us some great numbers but told us nothing about the man who apparently made them happen. The Fall's newer, not necessarily to be confused with original offerings on Broadway over the next 2 months are divided between dramas and musicals. In the latter category, The Band's Visit is in previews. This one was a hit off-Broadway, and it will be interesting to see how it transfers to a larger stage. I have heard already from some audience members who seem to be disappointed, but that's mostly due to the overly extravagant praise it received at the Atlantic Theater. Then there is SpongeBob SquarePants. Yes, you heard me correctly, described as an edgy family show based on the popular kids' TV program. This seems to be going for the Avenue Q crowd. Once on This Island is a revival of a musical that has never been a smash hit and seems a risky commercial choice, but it's a nice family story with songs by Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty. And then, of course, there is Springsteen, but that hardly qualifies as a traditional musical. In fact, they are calling it a luxury item. The non-musicals include a revival of M. Butterfly with Clive Owen, Meteor Shower, written and rewritten decades ago by Steve Martin, and Junk by Ayaz Akhtar. That's a financial story which was first produced in Southern California. The only brand new one, I believe, is The Parisian Woman, starring Uma Thurman. That one takes place in Washington, D.C., an arena well known by its author, who was also the creator of House of Cards. So I can't say it feels like an exciting and entirely original season thus far. The winter months are usually slim, but, well, Jill, as we know, there is always spring.
And I think it's going to be a spring thing because even the revivals, it's funny, you know. You can revive and you can revive, and... No, I know that sounds simplistic, but it depends on who's doing it and the context. You know, John Doyle did some wonderful, wonderful things with Sondheim, you know. There are other people who have done less wonderful things with other pieces. You all know who you are.
Yeah, and, right. And John Doyle, by the way, is continuing. He's taken over now the Classic Stage Company, which is a theater I love, but I don't know. He's trimmed down every show to such a minimum little thing that they're hardly recognizable revivals. But, you know, there will be, I'm sure there will be great ones among the misses so far.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is the minimalist. One of my favorite stories, and it's not Broadway, but it's sort of, it fits, is... A former colleague was married to a minimalist architect, and I think that they're just absolutely gloriously done flat. Was so spare that there was barely a chair, and you just you have to be a certain type of person to want everything that spare. I'm slightly concerned, a la Michael Moore, that the entire Broadway audience is not all minimalist. I mean, I think at least offer. I know it's costly and so forth, but offer the context of the original so that you know what it was stripped down to.
I know. Well, you know, and obviously Springsteen, which I haven't seen yet. I'm on the list, so keep your fingers crossed. But that's apparently completely spare. I mean, it's him with his series of guitars that he
picked
up.
But it's Springsteen.
Yeah, but that's Springsteen.
So that's I'm not talking that's not a 20 cast member, you know,
exactly.
Song and dance thing stripped down to four people playing five roles.
I know.
And that's the bit that I'm talking about. Or, put another way, spare in its place.
That's,
you know,
right.
If you are Bruce Springsteen, you and your guitar, I mean, I dare say that will be sold out for as long as anyone, for as long as he wants to do it.
Exactly.
Because, but you can't, let me rephrase, there are very few people you can take and say, so-and-so is going to be standing there with his, her instrument.
Right.
And, you know.
For 2 hours, and you're going to pay $350.
And want to.
Exactly. Be very happy to.
Right.
You know, Michael Moore is not Springsteen. These one-person shows on Broadway, to me, seem like a big ego trip. I don't know what else to call them. How many people can hold? You know, it's one thing if you have Bette Midler playing Sue Mangers. It's a really clever show. But those are risky. They're even risky, I think, in a small house. But at least there you kind of go in thinking small, you know, if you get my drift. Listen, I'm sure we'll have good shows in the spring. Yes, there are old ones coming back. My Fair Lady's coming back. Carousel's coming back. Not that they shouldn't. You know, great musicals, I guess, should come back every couple of years. There's a new audience to see them. Look how well The King and I did a few years back. That just went on endlessly with Kelly O'Hara. So there's no reason not. And I'm sure there will be original things. It just seems like if I went back and looked at this time last year, I think we already had a lot of interesting stuff in the fall and original stuff. And it doesn't feel like that way yet, but I'm certainly not going to panic. And let's see how these star-driven vehicles, Clive Owen is obviously the star there. Uma Thurman, we'll see if she's a star on Broadway.
Ebb and flow.
Yeah, it feels a little bit, listen, Off-Broadway is moving along, and there's always things to see, and within 2 weeks, we'll have the big ones, the Broadway shows to start talking about.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.